This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
I'm going to learn one or two things so that we can flow in line with the Word of God as we pray in this season. And today we'll be speaking on temperance. It's the defensive strategy of the Spirit that many Christians ought to learn. It is one of those things that we need to develop as believers, because through it, a lot of mistakes, battles, ills, and issues are dealt with or prevented from having to come to that in our lives. Temperance or self-control is key to the absolute victory of a believer who is trusting the Lord to fulfill his or her destiny. So on the call today, you are listening to me and you are learning what are those things that you need to have that would help you grow as a believer, fulfill destiny as a believer, achieve a keen sense of judgment as a believer. One of them is temperance. We can also call it self-control. It's important that as we learn these things, as believers, we become better. We become better Christians. We become better leaders. We become better husbands, better wives, become better leaders. Of the immediate failings that Christians suffer from is lack of self-control. You remember Jesus was telling us that we should be quick to hear, but be slow to speak. Be quick to hear, be slow to speak. And he said that was encouraging us to be, not to be forward, or to be quick to let people know what we are thinking. But we are advised to be quick to hear so that we can quickly know what others are thinking. And that is the key to temperance. I know that today, as you listen and as you read, because I made a class note on this, on all the topics that I'll be teaching for the prevailing prayers, the Lord helped me. Even before now, I have prepared the class notes so that we will ease into all of them. We are going to learn defensive strategies. We are going to learn offensive strategies. We are going to learn how to be on the offensive, meaning if you have to fight, if you have to take, if you have to land, but know what you need to do. And at the same time, if you want to keep your territory from being eroded or being taken over, the things that you have to learn how to do. As we pay attention to the Word of God today, I know that our lives will not remain the same. I know for sure that there will be a change in our thought process as believers, and it will affect our business, affect our home, it will affect how we reason in the name of Jesus. All right, so oftentimes, When a man of God or a minister of the gospel or a pastor would get a case relating to marriage, it will be found that either of the partners had no self-control. So self-control is not just in speaking, it is also in behavior. Somebody has no self-control. It means the person would behave in a certain way based on their impulses that the other fellow will feel he or she has been taken for granted, or he will feel he or she had not been counted with part of the equation. I really have to handle the case. And when I was listening, I was like, okay, why is it that this person did not see that they have no self-control, they have no temperance? Temperance is the ability to restrain yourself from acting based on your impulse, from assuming. Sometimes we assume things and we act based on assumption. A person who has no self-control can easily be lured out of their hiding places of their comforts by news or information or a deliberately crafted lie. And that will take them away from where they are, God has kept them, to a place where they'll be exposed, and sometimes they lose their lives. Amnon, the first son of David, the crown prince, had no self-control. The Bible said Amnon saw Tamar and he wanted to sleep with her so badly. He was a young man. Tamar was the stepsister. No self-control. No ability to reason with himself to say, this is an inordinate desire. This is not something that is good. You know, people that if they like somebody, they will show it 100%. And if they don't like somebody, they will quickly show it 100%. No sense of reading the room. Lacking the ability to read the room or to be able to manage decisions. See, so I'm always personally wary of those who are like that, because there are a lot of people like that. They will tell you, oh, I can't pretend. If I like somebody, I like them. If I don't like somebody, I don't like them. Right? And they will say that thinking that, oh, they're just being honest. No, it means they lack self-control. It means they cannot walk into your room and somebody they don't like will quickly know, you know? You are introducing your wife or your husband to people, and immediately somebody among the people knows that, ah, this man's wife does not like me. So you say, ah, why did you greet that man very well? Said, I don't like him. I can't stand him. If you don't like somebody, they needn't know. They need not know. You have no business not liking people. That's the truth. But if you don't like somebody, the person need not know. What is your gain in showing animosity to anybody? How does that benefit you in any way? Yeah. Because I see no advantage except being childish. Ah, they use a word for it. There's a certain word for it that I think I shouldn't use. Somebody. And so it is written boldly on your face that you don't like somebody. Or you cannot stand somebody. Or you dislike somebody. You cannot maintain a straight man attitude, an attitude of grace towards people. And so as soon you have not even had any relationship whatsoever, you have made an enemy as soon as you met somebody, made an enemy of the person. Many of us, we need to talk to ourselves. You have no reason saying that he just rubbed me the off the wrong way. As soon as I saw him, as soon as I saw her, I just can't stand her. So I'm not denying the fact that there are people who, when you see them, you can't help it. You just didn't like them. It is possible, even though it shouldn't be. But let's assume that happened. Must the person know? Must you show the person that I don't like you? Because there is nothing to gain by behaving like that. It shows you lack self-control. It shows you don't care that you can just make enemies. You can just make enemy with somebody. Like, and you think to yourself that, well, the person has no benefits to offer me. The person is of no use. What if tomorrow? Let me give you an example. Some years back, someone I know went to a hospital to register for maternity because she was pregnant. And as soon as she was registering, the nurse on duty just didn't like her. The one that was registering her, that particular one, just didn't like her. The nurse did not hide a dislike. The nurse, no typical. When you don't like people, the behavior, her nose was up, she was sneering, was hissing, she was snappish. So this man that was better, I was like, I didn't know how I offended that lady. Why was she behaving like that to us? I came to the hospital to register. We were talking, and then she was acting so offish. I told the lady that time. I said, take your eyes off it. You know, maybe she's had a long day at work. Maybe she's tired. You never can tell. You don't take offense because somebody said, this woman does not like me. I said, no, don't say that. On the day she would deliver her baby, it was the same nurse that was on duty. When the baby did not come on time, this nurse said something I will never forget. The nurse said, are you sure that this baby is not somebody else's baby like this? If there's anything you want to confess to your husband, better confess it. Because babies that don't come out quickly like this, maybe there is one family tradition that they are supposed to do that they have carried somebody else. She was so. She said, she spoke like that, said it. And this lady that was in labor, you know, she heard it, but because of the pain at the time, she delivered the baby. After delivering the baby, she mentioned it to me. She said, do you know what that lady said? I mean, do you know what she said to me when I was delivering my baby and the baby did not come on time? Do you know the remark she made, what she said? Somebody I didn't know from anywhere. She was just so petty, talking to me like that. I told her, hey, God has answered your prayer. You now have your baby. Don't take offense. Don't count offense. And then this lady that delivered the baby in our office built a big hospital. And they were employing people. This lady that was at the maternity head, that they were employing people at this mass of. So she picked up the phone and said, that, I need her help. Then called her and said, please. I heard that they're employing people at the hospital your company just built. Do you know anybody there? How do I apply? And this man said, she called me and she said, can you imagine? How do I recommend somebody like that? Somebody that will be talking to people anyhow, that will just dislike people and be making fun of them, poking fun at them. She did not even answer that phone call. She did not. And I couldn't encourage that too. Now, you need help or you want the bridge. Now, if the bridge was even something that was worth burning, let's see, but it wasn't. You don't have a relationship with this person, supposed to be your client. You are a nurse. She's coming to deliver a baby. She's a customer. You are supposed to be warm. congenial towards us, regardless of the pressure you have felt at your work. Because you never know. Tomorrow you may need this same person, but a lack of self-control is an indication of a lack of wisdom. It's an indication of a lack of wisdom. You should have restraint. That is self-control in terms of other people, reacting to other people, people you don't know, and because they just didn't like him. So I agree again. There are people that you meet that you just don't like. They didn't offend you. They didn't do anything against you. They just rub you the wrong way. It is possible to have people like that, but must you carry it on your face? Must it reflect in your voice? Must you demonstrate it to the person that you don't like the person? If you behave like that, you are a fool. Apologies, but you should say it the way it is. You are a fool because anybody who behaves like that lacks foresight. When you lack foresight, you are foolish. A wise person, even though he or she has been rubbed the wrong way, you know, sometimes it's somebody, they're just ugly. I'm telling you the truth. And we shouldn't see anybody as ugly, but that's the truth. Some people are just not fine. You just don't want them in your space. Maybe the way they talk, maybe they even have a nasty attitude. Maybe there are just so many reasons why you can dislike somebody. But why dislike them to their faces? Why give them the indication you don't like them? That is not a wise way to behave. So if you have that kind of habit, control yourself. Tell yourself, no, I will no longer behave like this towards people. For everyone is precious to God. Every soul is precious to God, and God loves everybody. And it does. God did not use any physical attributes, either yellow, black, white. Somebody has a tribal mark, somebody has incisions, somebody has, no matter the look, no matter the age, no matter the tribe, no matter, you have no business disliking, hating, or saying that, oh, I hate all the Igbo people. I don't like Yoruba people. I don't deal with Edo people. I don't like Hausa people. No, you, a Christian cannot afford to speak like that, to think like that, to behave in such a manner. It is a manner that is indicating that the person is lacking in wisdom. That's one. That is in behavior, in meeting people. You must have self-control. Again, the flip end of it, self-control in terms of liking somebody too much. You meet somebody now, he's a guy, you are a girl, you like him. You are falling, you are spilling. You are spilling everywhere, like a coke bottle that they what do they do? That they you know that when they take coke and they close it, and then they shake it, yeah, they shake it vigorously. Or they open it and they put some mint inside it, and then the thing begin to spill everywhere. That's you. So I say, I don't hide this. Well, I like somebody like this. My body is doing bili-bili. My body is doing bili-bili. You do not have sense. It's bad behavior. Not liking people is bad behavior. Liking somebody to ensure that it becomes a weakness. Where you allow your feelings to lead you as if you are like a dog sniffing at food. It's terrible behavior. Regardless of how you feel, whether you like somebody too much, or as soon as you met this lady, your heart just melted. I've seen some guys that wear their heart on their sleeves. And I've seen girls that know how to be manipulative. They manipulate these guys. They basically make them errand boys. You know, when I see such things, I feel sorry for the guys. I tell myself that, ha, this is the spirit of sake. Some of us don't know sake. When you read Odyssey, the story written by Homer in Odyssey, Odysseus, it was in Greek mythology. There was this witch called Sake. Every day you spend in a palace, it's a year in the outside world. She lived on an island and she makes men a slave. They will be thinking they are enjoying, but she would have mesmerized them. And I've seen many guys that wasted weeks, months, years based on their feeling because they found themselves stuck, because their feelings were so open to being exploited. Ladies also say, as soon as I saw it, my legs were shaking. You need your mommy to back you again. You need to go home to your mother. You say, mommy, you didn't back me when I was a baby. And you back me? Don't take what I said literally in case you are not in Nigeria. Nigerians will understand what I just said. It means what I'm saying, what I was saying was that the person lacks maturity. Person lacks maturity. And you need to become mature. You shouldn't allow anybody to use your feelings for them to turn you into a dumping ground or into a plaything. It is true that you have every right to love. You have every right to express. If you like something, you should be able to say it. Oh, I like this thing. Oh, I like that thing. But that's to a thing. If you love a person and the person does not love you back, it is you put yourself at a disadvantage, trying to win the affection of somebody who does not love you. Either you are male. You are female. When you are male, it's even better a bit. You'll chase her a bit, and if she doesn't give you attention, you go away. But when you are female, you find yourself emotionally perturbed consistently. I met a woman once. She told me how she won her husband. She's a pastor's wife. The pastor's wife. The senior pastor's wife. The pastor will be in his 60s now. She will be in her late 50s. So when I met the two of them, the husband would have at least 20 other girlfriends. And all the girls that this man would date were of the same make and model. All of them would be slim, young, fine babes. And when they were done with service, and the wife were walking down the staircase towards the cars. And the wife and the assistant pastor's wife were talking, women talk. And the wife said to the assistant pastor's wife that, what will I do? All the girls that are plucking around my husband, I'll just tell them, thank you. You're helping me to grind my pepper. And the husband heard it and the husband turned and said, what are you talking about? And she said, I'm just joking. She said, don't, I don't took it very seriously. I was there. However, didn't like the fact that the wife was stylishly saying that she knew or she recognizes that there are so many women in his life that were not supposed to be in his life. And so one day, since I noticed that was how the husband is, I used to, in my head, I couldn't figure it out that what kind of life? What kind? And then the wife came to the office one day, and the wife said to me, the wife said, see, Winger, I know the battle I fought to marry this man. Pay attention to what I'm saying. I know the battle I fought to marry this one. When we were in Ibadan, when I was in Ibadan, and I was in secondary school, he was serving. He was finished NYSC, he was serving at the time. There are girls, they will just be coming and going out. I will be patient. I will sit in the sitting room patiently until he's done with them. Then I will go to his room, I will wash everything, I will be picking condoms, I will do all these things. I was patient until eventually my patient won me my husband. So I know what I went through before I married this man. And when she was saying it in such a way that I should look at her and think the patient dog ate the patter's bone. But from my own words, I could see that this was a pattern she set from day one. Complaining when they were in their 50s was immaterial. It had always been how the man was. And she's one of those people that would think, oh, maybe when he becomes born again, then they will go to church, say, yeah, let him, oh, God, please save my husband's soul. Save my husband's soul. Praying for salvation of his soul because of our own peace of mind. You see, many of us, you are listening to me now, that's what you are doing. You are not really praying for the salvation of his soul. You know, you are thinking that if she becomes born again, it will now change. You are thinking that if she becomes born again, she will change. Because you can notice a pattern of behavior, and you are thinking that only salvation can make the person change. So people will be telling you, pray that God will save you. So once he becomes born again, he will change. He will change. He will change. And you would accept it. No. What the man is, a man is. I'm not saying that salvation does not change people, but let me tell you what a man is, a man is. Let me say it again. What a man is, a man is. In some cases, a man will change, but not in all cases. Not in every case. In some cases, it's not rare to see people change. That somebody has been living a particular lifestyle, they become born again, and then they drop everything, they surrender all, as we say, and then they say goodbye, world, and then they sing the song, they say kumbaya, and then they follow Jesus, and then they change their ways. We have documented changes like that. We also have documented unregenerated souls that became born again several times, but fall for the same weaknesses over and over and over again. What a man is, he is. Now, the man that is behaving like that has no self-control, or the woman behaving like that has no self-control. That is documented, that we know. But the woman, somebody that has no self-control, that told herself that this is the person I will marry. I want to win. I want to win him, no matter what. I'll be patient. And then later in her life, she started complaining. Oh no, I will no longer take it. I will fight. You know, the both of them are guilty. Both of them. The things I wouldn't take, I wouldn't take. And the things I wouldn't take, I wouldn't dish out. It is natural for people to think this way for the sake of their own sanity. Now, self-control. The Bible said that David saw Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was having a bath in the evening when they were supposed to be at war. And lacking self-control, it sent for her. And slept with her. See, no matter how we look at that story, it is obvious that a lot of things went wrong. And this thing that went wrong shouldn't have gone wrong if there is a bit of self-control from King David's side and also from Bathsheba's side. However, did you notice that after the issue with Bathsheba, that David suddenly developed self-control. He never repeated that mistake again. He suddenly realized the price that he had to pay. The price he had to pay for that indiscretion was heavy. Because as a result of it, suddenly we noticed self-control all over his family. You know, but I started the story with Amnon. Amnon and Tamar, lack of self-control. Then Tamar also lacked self-control. Why? When she was raped as a princess of the kingdom, that is the way you handle royal issues on the streets, right throughout Israel, and ruined her own marital prospect. The Bible said she became desolate all her life. Nobody came to ask her hand in marriage. She was a beautiful woman, but she didn't handle the crisis properly. Some of us are here. When there is a crisis, the first thing we want to do is carry a megaphone and be shouting and make everything blow everything wide open and make of the repercussions of our action. We think of the action. We do not think of the repercussion. We like to quickly, yes. As the thing is hitting us, we quickly want to be making noise about it. At the end of the day, it's about perception. It's about what? How do I see you? Perception. How will people see you? Somebody can be in a terrible relationship. I was discussing with a pastor friend of mine today. He and the wife are separated. And we're having a discussion. And he said, oh, the way I spoke with her, the way I spoke to her, that was why she left and all that. And I was like, oh, you normally don't behave like this. What happened? Just I just sparked. Then why? Why do you just snap? and spark. And then people do not remember all the days of your patience. It is that one time that you overspeak, that you overreact, that everybody remembers. And who do they remember? Because in the case he was talking to me about, he was the innocent person. The wife was the one that was pushing him so far. And normally he would walk away, but that day he just chose to, let me give it back. And then the wife took an exception to what he said to her, and she moved out of the house. And since then they've been at it. And I was like, what? Why have you had control so far? And then this one time you decided you don't want control. Losing control shows that you have lost the plot. It is a good thing to be a man in control. Ahithophel was a man, a well-guided man. The Bible said when this man will speak like the oracle of God. If he gives a counsel, it will be as if God had spoken. Ahithophel came into the palace and told Absalom what he wanted him to do. The Bible said Absalom did not go with him. Absalom went with somebody else. And Ahithophel immediately calculated his odds and decided, okay, see, there is no way this guy will survive this thing, right? There's no way David is going to be king again. And when David is king, David is going to punish all those who sided with his enemy. I've sided with the enemy, so it's best to just kill myself. And he killed himself. That again is lack of self-control. Bible says that to he that is joined to the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Ahithophel could have found a way to make peace with David. He could have found a way, just like my people shit. He could have found a way to make peace, to reestablish contact, to win the heart of the king again, and not be so determined to die. Anybody can think of how it's lack of self-control. Extreme of everything is terrible. You must understand that. Self-control. A believer must have it. Male, female, husband, wife, young, old. It is a defensive strategy that you must have as a believer so that the enemy does not have find weaknesses to exploit in you. So that you do not give the enemy the opportunity to take advantage of your action. Self-control. There was a man called Hushai. Many of us remember this story. Absalom had chased David out of the palace. David was running away towards Jordan. All his target was to cross Jordan to the other side. He knew that if he could escape into the other side, back to his territory, if he should leave Jerusalem and run back to the territory where the river would divide them, he would be safe. His head would rest on his neck. He was running away. But Hushai assumed that David would never be king again. And Hushai had been bottling in his heart some things he wanted to say. Let me say that to you again. You are working with somebody, but you don't like the person. But the person is like your boss. I remember recently, they said they transferred a woman from Nigerian Port Authority, and all the staff on TV, they were laughing, they were clapping. Glory, thank God. Ooh, be going, be going. And then they said they transferred another person from Nigerian NSA. And as soon as they transferred the person, there was a video released. People are rejoicing in the office of the National Security Agency. They were happy. Oh, somebody is gone. Yeah. Bye bye. Bye bye. They were dancing. All the while, they had expressed certain discomfort under the leadership of these people. And suddenly, they were dancing, they were singing, they were clapping. And it was recorded and posted online. Oh, to them, the person is gone. Let's say somehow this person found favor and now meet the person director of NSA tomorrow. This person will remember how the people behaved. If you was a repentant person, you would then behave better. But if this person is a bitter person or somebody who is very vindictive, it would now make their life more miserable. There was nothing dignifying in what they did. All the noise, all the boasts that they did increase their salary? No. Did they add any money to their pocket? No. Did they make their life better? No. Oh, they might have done that to say, yeah, we don't like this person. But a Christian shouldn't be found among such. In fact, when they do the video scan, they shouldn't see one Christian doing that. It is not because the Christian liked what he did or did not like what he did. It's just that it is a foolish act. See, to be caught in the midst of folly is not a good thing. Solomon said, do not berate a king, even in your room. That's they've locked all the door. They've locked all the door. You are in your house. And you started saying, ah, that king is stupid. Solomon said, a bird could be flying by, would hear what you are saying, and then go and tell the king. What does he mean? He means that you are in your house, your neighbor could hear. Somebody may be walking by, person may hear. People may be going by, they will hear. And then somebody will say, ah, this guy does not like the king. This guy does not like. And before you know it, you have become enemy of the state over something you are saying in your own house. Lacking self-control is a terrible thing. Bible said, Hushai saw David and his men as they were running from Absalom. And Hushai began to laugh. Bible said he took stone and sand and poured it at David and his sin. And he said, shame on you, army, army. You took the throne of Saul. You stole the throne of your boss. Shame on you. Have you not been disgraced now? Have you not been disgraced now? Has all God not seen it? You are invited. You killed Goliath, and the king was gracious to you. He invited you to the palace to sit among the noble people. You sat there. He made you important, gave you his daughter to marry, but you are not satisfied. You have to kill him. You have to sit on his throne. That was what Hushai was doing. Meanwhile, David was looking for redemption. David had sinned against God, and Prophet Nathan has told him that there will be punishment. And David had told Prophet Nathan that I'd rather fall into the hand of God and not the hand of man. So then, when this guy was doing it, David just said, should we kill him? David said, no, 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 don't kill him. Let him be reminding God. Hi. There are some people, it is not because of their conduct, for the sake of the oil that is on their head, for the sake of the anointing that is speaking on their destiny, you should be wary of taking your phone and saying ill things about them. At the end of the day, you will be the one to lose out. You will lose out big. I'm telling you, if you laugh at the king, he's still a king. If you mock a king, he's still a king. And he still has the power to chop your head. Let me say that again. People say, oh, I can criticize the government. Yeah, it is a democracy. Criticism is part of democracy. Government of the people by the people. Then some people applied for some jobs last year. And then some people applied. And when they went for their interview, they told the staff members to check their social media handles. And some of those who qualified, who are well qualified, who had said one thing or the other against the government, they were automatically just left out of the list. So they say, ah, what happened? We qualified, they didn't put us in the list, they didn't give it to us, they didn't take us, they didn't check it, and nobody told them why. But there was one thing that was consistent. All of them were anti. Again, why shoot yourself in the foot with your mouth? Please train yourself. Hey. It is not important. Your opinion is your opinion. And Romach will say that opinion, they have two noses. He said them, they are like noses. They have two holes in them. Everybody's got one, and they have two noses in them, two holes in them. So opinions are not, it's what you think. And it's actually what you think because you cannot see the bigger picture. It is just the picture you can see. But self-control will save you a lot of trouble. As a believer, raise your children to have self-control. Raise them. Don't raise children that are quick to hit people. No, I was at the swimming pool with my children one time. We were swimming, and then this other man came with his children, and the children were young. They just came to the pool to have some fun. But when they saw the way we were swimming, they wanted to swim too. So I welcomed them. I said they should come. Because I generally like to teach. I said, come, let me show you and all that. And then I noticed one of the children, young, he was quite aggressive. The boy was like maybe 5, 6 years old. And my son that was aggressive to was like 11 years old. My son would basically drown him in the water. Like he would just put his head under, forget about it. I mean it literally. I was watching. And this boy was and my son just went away. I was so proud. Oh, I was so proud. And one of the days that I would say that as a father, I looked at myself and I said, you are doing a good job. You know? Or just swam away. He didn't react. I said, yeah, that's how to behave. It is not for lack of strength or power. But it is for understanding that those who behave like that are weak. That's a weakness. Somebody that is prone to anger, you take the anger away from them from childhood. You take it away. You insist that you must control your emotion. Your emotion cannot control you. What did God tell Cain? Cain and Abel were supposed to bring their sacrifice to God. And both of them did. Bible said Abel brought the first fruit, the first of everything. It doesn't matter the size. It has to be the first. Because you must think of God first before yourself. Remember when Abraham was going to pay his tithe, Bible said to Melchizedek, he said he gave him the first of all things. The first. So if somebody wants to give God something and you are not giving him first, it is not acceptable. It's one of the reasons why when people are gay about this, I just laugh. God has to be first. He has to be the, if he's not first, then nothing is acceptable. It will not become second in my life. He has to be first. And so the Bible said that Abel brought the first, not the fattest, not the biggest, first. First fruit. Now, I'm not preaching first fruit here. So anybody will hear me and say, but I mean, I said we should be paying our first fruit. No, I'm telling you the story of Abel and Cain. I'm not talking to a born-again Christian who is, Jesus is the first fruit of us, of our generation. Jesus is the first fruit of all born-again Christian. He is the first fruit and they have been given to God on our behalf. But I was talking about the story of Cain. So Cain brought good fruits. He didn't bring rotten one. When you look at my book of Bible stories, you see that they put the ugly fruits. No, 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 no. That's not what happened. He didn't bring the first. He didn't consider God first. God is supposed to be first. But he brought good fruits, but he didn't bring the first. But Abel brought first. First. Fruit, first harvest, first, the first sharing and the first sharing, the first of all his animals. He brought them to God. And God accepted the person that thought of him first. And Bible said the reaction was of Cain was legendary. Cain got angry. He went to his house, he locked his door, he began to pace up and down. His hands were shaking. Body was shaking. He was feeling disrespected. I'm the firstborn. How can this happen? It happened in public. People are now looking at me. It is embarrassment. I cannot take it. People now think less of me. People are now looking at me. They are now laughing at me that God loved my brother more than me. Oh, I cannot accept this. Oh, my brother is saying this, this, this. And then God said, hey, Cain, the way you are behaving, the way you are behaving, you're about to commit a sin. You are thinking of sin. Sin is crouching at your door. You have to deal with it. It's in your Bible. It's in the scriptures. God said, you have to deal with this thing, this emotion that's making you think evil thing, that is making you think how to destroy, how to burn, how to kill. This emotion, hey, you have to put it under control. Control it or it will control you. My local language. There is a particular saying. They say that if you follow a monkey for a while, the monkey would lead you into the forest. If a monkey follows you, you will lead the monkey to town. So the monkey lives in the forest, and you will live in the town. Both of you may have similar features. It depends on who is leading. If the monkey is the one leading, it's going to lead a human being into the forest. If a human being is the one leading, he surely will lead the monkey into town because a human being will not go and live in the forest. And the monkey will not go and live in town. But they have similar characteristics. It depends on who is leading. Are you leading your emotion or is your emotion leading you? Are you governing your emotion or is your emotion governing you? Do you have a weakness that somebody will say, we know his weakness. Just arrange for this kind of babe. It will give you whatever you want. If people can talk about that, about if people can talk about you like that, you are a troubled person. You need help. That is so obvious that people know that we know his key. I know the key that stop him. All you have to do is give him pounded yam. Even if you are eating dinner. If you begin to do pounded yam, he will eat it. He spoke. Once you give him a bottle of Coke, my God, it will just be like Samson and Delilah. He will give you his life. Once you have a weakness that somebody can point at, and the person can say that is how to get him, ladies and gentlemen, you lack self-control. There should be nothing under the heaven that you should like. That to become a weakness, a snare unto you as a believer. Cain killed Abel because he couldn't control his emotion. And God warned him before he killed Abel. God said, sin is crouching at your door. Take control of it, or it will take control of you. You must learn these things. Some of us, we do not have restraint when we speak. I cite this example all the time. When I was in university, my mom sent me a scripture. I believe it's Psalm 146, something like that. Set a watch over my mouth, O Lord, and put a door over, a guard over my mouth, something like that. And I asked her at the time, I said, why did you send me this? My mom said, because you speak bow bow. Before your mouth will put you in trouble. You talk anyhow. Before your mouth will put you in trouble, I am sending you this scripture so that you begin to confess it, that you may have restraint over your utterances, that you may have restraint over your mouth, that you will not talk yourself into trouble. Set a watch over my mouth, O Lord. Set a door over my mouth. Let there be control. Remember what James said? James said, if you want to see a perfect man, he is a man who does not stumble in his words. When people are talking, I pay attention when people are talking because I lead a ministry that is global. And then when people are talking about, and they mention somebody's name, if they mention, if people are talking and they say, say, sister, so and so, we heard it from our mouth. If they see it, I keep quiet. If another set of people come and they mention the same person's name, if another set of people come and they mention the same person's name, and the person is found by me to be among those who are carrying all sorts of stories here and there, and they mention your name consistently. Oh my God, I have already noticed that you have no self-control, no temperance, no restraint. And then I will put you in a box where people can be looking at you from afar. I'll be deliberate about it. It is one of my very good leadership skills to actually put you in the, I tell everybody that, hey, look, don't talk to this person. If you talk to this person, it's a telewire telegram. It's going to help you do Western Union and broadcast it everywhere. Keep away from this person. I will hang it on your neck that everybody may see it. So that next time, nobody will come to me and say, they spoke to you. I'll say, did I not tell anybody not to talk to this person? So if you go to talk to that person, don't come and complain to me. It is one of those things. If you notice that somebody has no restraint over their mouth, no self-control, no temperance, you keep away from them. That is the truth. You keep away. You don't go to them because you know that they have no ability to keep confidence. There are some people, as soon as they hear, as soon as somebody comes to talk to them, the next thing is to pick their phone. They've turned the person's matter into a gist. If you're a minister of the gospel, do not allow yourself to develop this kind of reputation. Do not allow yourself to develop this kind. Do not allow it to be said of you that he cannot keep a confidence. The Bible said that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. God expects his ministers to be able to keep secrets. If somebody tells me their story, I decide to write it. I will not put their name. If the person reads it and the person takes offense, I'll say, oh, but I didn't put your name. If you read the website, you'll see. I won't put your name. You'll be the only one that knows the story, apart from me. So, anybody to benefit many, because I would never put your name in it. Because it is important that people learn, but at the same time, it is important that the confidence of those whose story, whose realities are shared, are kept. But to find yourself in the middle of, they said, he said, she said, come on. Anybody that is at this level, this 2025, still finding himself in the middle of that, lacks self-control. You should work on it. Temperance is important. It's one of those defensive things, skills that you must have as a believer. Temperance. You will save yourself from many troubles if you have temperance. Now, let me give you a gist. Laugh a little before we give our offering. When I was young, we had a neighbor, a single man who was living downstairs. It was a fourth flat and he was living downstairs. One day by myself, I was coming from school and I saw my older sisters and my younger brother. All of them were talking. And they were talking about one person. They were calling him Mr. Otolo. Sincerely. I didn't know who they were talking about. I had no idea. The name just appealed to my humor. I have a very powerful sense of humor. So when I hear anything funny, it appeals to me. So I said, Otolo, 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 we're laughing. And then this man was passing by. And everybody was saying, Mr. Otolo. I went to see Mr. Otolo. And the man went to report to my father that I called him Mr. Hey. And my father beat me. And I didn't know. I have no idea that they invented. So that time I learned that I will not help other people to propagate their joke. Because at the end of the day, it is you that you have no understanding of the origin of the joke. It is on your head that the joke will now land. Suddenly, my father came back from work and took a belt and said I should come and flogged me and said, you are mocking Mr. Anthony. Said, eh? I didn't even calculate that Anthony and Otolo were similar. And it was me, the man I to mention. The inventor of the, hey, I suffered that day. I didn't care. Those are things I don't want to remember. But later I had to sit down and tell myself that when you hear people saying things, you too, you went to put your mouth and you too, you are saying it. And you have no idea what they were saying. And of course, my own voice is very loud. So even though people are whispering, otolo, otolo, it's me that will shout. It is the noisiest person that the man will hear. And I was the one that got punished for something I didn't invent. From that time, if I see two of the people talking about, I carry my load. I will not be another queue. I will not be the one to suffer for your lack of restraint. Glory to God. I believe we've learned one or two things today. I believe we've learned one or two things. There are so many other aspects of life where self-restraint works. A man that is full of the Holy Spirit would naturally know when his words are not edifying others, when his words are not building others up, when his words are tearing others down, when he is not restrained in his emotion, when he is overtly aggressive. You will know. Always call yourself, put yourself back into the mode of self-control. Tell yourself, no, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will not behave like this. I will not behave like this. That the hand of the Lord perpetually is upon you, that will increase on every side and in good measure. I declare that the lines are falling for you in pleasant places. I declare that you have a goodly heritage. I declare that your inheritance is sure and secure, and that the Lord has expanded you on the right and on the left and has brought you into a wealthy place. I declare that you have self-control, that you have temperance, that you do not behave like an alcoholic drink treats its master, but that you behave like somebody who is in charge and full of grace and truth all the time. Thank you, Father, for your word this year. It is amen. And all your children are taught of your word, and great is our peace. Blessed be your holy name, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, Glory!
Blah.